drowned their staccato clipping. "Slow down, Nathan," she raised her voice, naming the first face that span into view. Referred to in the staff room as "But Nathan," this boy came equipped with an unusually comprehensive range of excuses. "There's no need to cause a stampede. And before you ask, no, I don't care if it is the last day of term." Neck twisting self-righteously, he didn't disappoint. "But, miss, there's a fight." "Why now?" was Aisha's first reaction. Now, when the day was winding down nicely, and all she had left to do was set her out-of-office assistant. Glancing through the picture window, she identified the back of a male colleague cutting diagonally across the quad. Jim Stevens. Hand taxi-hailing, he was heading towards a boxing ring formation. Moments behind, her moral support was all that would be required. Reassured, she said, "Slow down! Whatever's happening outside doesn't concern you." "Why are you always picking on me, miss?" "I don't know, Nathan," she countered aggression with sarcasm, a tactic she had developed for the classroom, but found overspilling into personal conversations. "Maybe it's because you make yourself an easy target."
"But that's like discrimination."
Sidestepping Nathan's protests, Aisha tightened her mouth. "I'm sure you'll get over it," and elbowed her way down, reaching the halfway landing between the second and first floors. Another glance outside, Jim had been absorbed within the outer ring. Through the bottleneck outside the boys' toilets, where she instinctively held her breath, Aisha used the side door, which was already hooked open, and briskly crossed the quad, shouting, "All right, break it up!" At the same time, she delved into her oversized shoulder bag, needing the feeling of security that having a mobile phone in her hand provided. The fading of the chanting, "Fight! Fight! Fight!" and the slow disintegration of the ring gave the impression that Jim was already busy refereeing proceedings. But the witnesses, who staggered backwards, the eerie hush, a single high-pitched scream, suggested the need for a different drill. Fighting her instinct for flight, chest tightening, Aisha wove through a maze of kids who no longer seemed sure why their hands were clutching carrier bags containing ingredients for flower bombs and bottles of Coke spiked with vodka. "Okay, stand aside." Confronted by the harrowed face of a girl, she paused. "What happened? Are you hurt?" "One question at a time," Aisha cautioned herself, heart thumping so wildly it shook her slender frame. The girl shrank into the maternal embrace of a friend.
"Not me, miss."
She followed the girl's unswerving gaze, expecting to see Jim towering over the heads of teenagers. A slump, barely a shadow, in the periphery of her vision, between the grey-trousered legs of boys, she saw her colleague sprawling on the tarmac, his face a perfect illustration of surprise. He was struggling to breathe. He reached one hand out to a boy, the only one to run forwards, who came to a halt as if colliding with an invisible barrier. "Shit," Aisha said audibly. Bag avalanched from shoulder, and she made no attempt to catch it in the hook of her elbow. As it collapsed by her feet, she had already dialed 999. "Come on, come on." "What service do you require?" Jim was clutching his chest, an irregular red shape he could no longer disguise, growing in circumference, spreading unevenly over the white breast pocket of his linen shirt. A love of horror films, something her friends thought uncharacteristic of her, hadn't prepared Aisha for her first sight of blood, real blood, in these proportions. Her lungs inflated in stages so that she was aware of an expansive void in her chest. "I'm sorry, what service?" She wasn't prepared for this.
One of my colleagues, he's been stabbed."
It was as if her body was slow to catch up with this news. Only a couple of weeks ago, a staff meeting had been held to discuss the possibility of weapons being brought into school. Just a possibility, or so Aisha had believed, recoiling from the statistics that had been bandied about. "Where?" The calm voice of the telephonist couldn't hold her attention. Her mind was galloping furiously. Should she line the witnesses up against the wall? But, scanning faces and hands, there was no obviously guilty party. "Where?"
"I'm sorry, in the playground, Ashfield Comp."
"And the wound? Where's that?"
"His chest, the left side,"
Aisha said this, knowing all it implied. Address confirmed, she thumbed the red exit button. By now she had reined in her cultish thoughts, but felt no less panic. Several pairs of